In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Four youth, a great big stick, and fire. What could go wrong? Oh, let me just say that again for those who need to hear it. One, two, three, four youth, a big stick, what could go wrong? Take two, live, here we go. What makes you rich? Is it the money in the wallet or? I give up. I'll tell you the lecture I got on this. How much fire? What fire? Do we need fire hydrants? Do we call the fire department? Got an answer for you. No. When the Holy Spirit shows up, it can be really loud or very quiet. It can shout your name or whisper a mission. Sometimes it's a full sentence. Sometimes it's a dream all night long. I don't mind sharing with you at a very intimate level that God speaks to me in three ways. Yes. No. Do this. Don't do that. That's all I get. And in all fairness, 80% of the time, it's don't do that. I pray constantly for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. As you know, it all began with a huge celebration with men and women speaking as many as 10 or 12 languages at least, with thousands of people gathered for a huge festival. And right smack in the middle of it, a small group of people following Jesus' directive. He's taught them for 3 years. They know him personally. They watch him die on the cross. They watch the resurrection experience. He gathers them together. He ascends and leaves them behind, but he commissions them to preach the good news of the gospel wherever they go. Wherever they go. In everything that they say, do, and think. And then he says, there will be a comforter, an advocate, a teacher, a mentor, that will function deep within your being, and you will know that you know that you know that God is guiding you, directing you. Some who know me well say, Stephen, God only speaks to you in fractions of sentences because he knows that if he spoke to you in a paragraph, you'd get lost. I've studied for years, but I gotta tell you, when the Holy Spirit shows up, it messes everything up. Structure, order, and discipline. God. If we read Scripture very, very carefully, it's clear that Jesus says, I've got to leave in order that the Spirit can re-educate you in a deep and profound way that you can hear it so that you can grow in the Spirit. Sometimes it means you need to be spontaneous. Wish there was more. Sometimes it's like a flash of light that there's a sudden awareness. Sometimes it's over a long period of time that you're deeply and profoundly aware of God's presence, comforting you, strengthening you, encouraging you. It is indeed Christ's advocate in your life. I see it functioning in this parish in so many ways. Your deacon and I spend a little time at Innisfree. Truth, I spend a little time in Innisfree. She spends a lot. They not only know her name, her address, but her favorite cookie. And you, in your incredible generosity, I believe inspired by the Spirit, have brought huge amounts of food and supplies. The Justice Committee, as they met yesterday morning and I attended their meeting, through the power of the Holy Spirit, are trying to respond to the poor and those in need of proper housing and proper care in this community. The Outreach Committee spends endless hours in dialogue trying to discern where the resources can go that will meet the needs in this community and throughout the world. And when we come together and worship, we hope and pray that the Holy Spirit will show up and change lives, whether either loudly or with the gentle whisper so many of us experience of the Holy Spirit. I want to share one experience with you. Several years ago, I had to make a phone call to a bishop. Now, I think he may be aware of this, but I was absolutely terrified of Bishop Bob Bennett. I mean terrified. You saw this jolly, lighthearted, easygoing, laid-back priest, and then they elected him bishop. It's a lot of weight, a lot of responsibility, a lot of authority. And I respect the authority. So when I had to phone him, it took me 4 days to dial the number. I kept picking up the phone, putting it down, picking up the phone, putting it down. It was one of those tough decisions. And then finally I got him on the phone, and I'm sure it sounded a little like this. Sir, I was wondering, there's an idea. I was wondering if you would mind very much if we kind of, did a baptism outside in the lake. There was silence. And then he said, I think that's a great idea. Enjoy. Now, I didn't mention there were 20. But we had it all structured, ordered, and disciplined. These people would file in single line out into the water, wearing the proper and appropriate decorum. They would proceed with their hands folded and with their eyes focused on the waves. They would make their way out in the lake and one by one be immersed. Coming out of the water, the sun would shine, and the entire congregation would say at the pre-described exactly right volume and appropriate tone, glory be to God. Nothing too loud, nothing too soft, right in the middle. And they would say it 20 times. And then after that, we would do the laying on of hands and anointing, and everyone would line up in a single line, smallest to largest. And in very formal and traditional ways, they would receive the anointing. That was the plan. Worked on it for weeks. I announced the baptism, and at least 20 people ran from all different directions into the water. They were excited in the spirit. This was a big day for them. They were very clear I had rules, and they had no intention of following them. Let me tell you, Warden, it hasn't changed. They were so excited in the spirit and the power of the moment that they just ran into the water and one by one wandered over whenever they wanted. And I put them in the water and I didn't hold anybody down for a long time. And they came up and they knew that they knew that they knew that God had touched their lives, that the Spirit had filled them. And at the end of this very formal and traditional, spirit movement of whatever, whenever, however God moves. Have you got it? Whenever, however God moves. And they all came and they were baptized one by one. And then I said, anyone that would like to renew their baptismal covenant. And you know what I expected. Oh, excuse me, Father. If you don't mind, that's English, by the way, just in case anybody's struggling. Excuse me, Father, if you don't mind, I'd like to come out there and have a little sprinkle. Nope. They came from everywhere. Into the water. They've been waiting to reaffirm their baptism for years, particularly a woman about 80. Are you ready for this? She had a full-length dress on, which she knew was going to get in the way. Do you know what's coming next?
No.
It's a moment I'll never forget. All I remember is that dress coming just over her knees, and I did this, as every gentleman would. Oh, my God. And she came into the water with such tremendous enthusiasm. Renewed in the Spirit. She came out of the water and said, I've been called to Africa. I don't know about you, but I'm not going back in the water if I'm going to get called to Africa. Some have. And the reality is that God moves in us in small ways and in big ways. It's always God's decision how God will move. Well, wouldn't you know it? We had the second part of the service, as we will today, and we asked everybody to line up in an orderly fashion, and we anointed and laid hands, and it was very quiet and gentle, and the praise team was playing in the background. It was pretty awesome music. Great, great music. And we're going along, and I turned to the deacon of the time, 72-year-old former vice president of the first woman vice president of the Michigan Bank. Retired and became a deacon. Holy Spirit whispered to her ear one day, you will be ordained. Ordained at 72. She's standing beside me on the left, and I whispered, make sure the nurse is nearby just in case anybody gets upset, frustrated, etc. She said, as always, which was her way of saying, go ahead and believe there's structure, order, and discipline in this church. And we're anointing everyone, laying hands, and it feels like it's going on forever, a little like this homily. So we get about three-quarters of the way through, and this woman's standing in front of me, and I anoint her forehead, and I touch her shoulders as I will with you today. And I just pray. You know, I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And ask the Holy Spirit to move through your body, mind, and spirit, granting you healing, wholeness, and peace. And she passed out. And into the microphone that I forgot I was wearing, I said, oh my God, I killed her. And I turned to the deacon, who could fix anything. And I said, get the nurse. And she said, that is the nurse. If you don't think the Holy Spirit touches your life, doesn't work with you, you haven't heard it, you're not sure where it is, you're not quite sure how it's functioning, you need to know this. If you haven't felt it, it's coming. Because as a believer, Jesus sent believers into the world to follow his instructions and to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do what God calls us to do. There are moments in your life where you can't believe you made it through a situation. I want to propose to you as a believer that that was the Holy Ghost guiding and directing and strengthening you. We have cancer survivors in this room. We have people living with cancer right now. We have people in this room right now living with chronic pain. We have people in this room living with nonstop horrible headaches. We have people in this room really struggling in their relationships and trying to stay the course and give it another shot. We've got people in this room who are struggling with their careers, what to do next. There is freedom in the Spirit because you know that if you're stuck in a career you don't want to be in, put a jacket on, put a resignation in one pocket and a resume in the other. And then pray that God will provide for you that new opportunity through the Spirit. Now, some people always ask me the question, Stephen, how do your stories end? You never end your stories. So how this one ends. She got up. And she looked at me and she said, "That, my boy, is called carpet time." I said, "What do you mean carpet time?" She said, "In the charismatic evangelical movement, when you're anointed and hands are laid on you, sometimes the Holy Spirit just gives you a quiet moment by yourself to process the experience. So you go to sleep for a minute on the carpet. So it's called carpet time." Now I'm looking at this carpet, and I don't think it's had a lot of people do time on it. And I'm sure not suggesting that this morning, because there's no nurse in the room. What I am suggesting, yes, there is.
May the Lord spare her the experience.
We believe so strongly in Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit working through your life that this morning we are going to have an experience of the laying on of hands and anointing just in a couple minutes. And those who are comfortable, we invite you to come forward as a symbol of God's healing in your life, as a fresh start, a new beginning, an opportunity to move forward with new hopes, new dreams, and new goals. Now, I know you don't like this word, but COVID has really messed with us. And it's time to set a new course, many of our personal lives, in our personal relationships, and in the work that we do. May today's prayers, anointing and laying on of hands, be the opportunity for that gentle, quiet, fresh start. Amen.